Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Father Michael Kaiser.
Deference to one another is the livery you must all wear. God thwarts the proud and keeps his grace for the humble. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen. This is also read in the Western Rite of Compline. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. When Peter was writing, there was, for those who belong to the church, a very clear distinction between the church and the world, which for many of us, including many in the church, does not exist today. But then they knew there was a clear distinction between the world, which was the realm of Satan and the demons. And remember that the pagans were worshiping things that we call demons, idols and other false images. And what it meant to be in Christ in the church, and the kind of behavior that was expected of those to be in Christ in the church. Now, this translation is by Monsignor Ronald Knox, who was British, and did this about the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century. So he starts off saying, deference to one another is the livery you must all wear. The livery was what the servant of a noble lord wore. It had his, it was like a brand on a horse. It identified who you worked for. It identified what household you had on, whether it was his coat of arms or his own special colors or whatever. That was the livery that you were supposed to wear that identified you as belonging to something in particular. And so what this is saying is deference to one another, humility, giving way to one another, is the way people are supposed to know that you are in the church, that you are a Christian. Being more concerned about the other person than about you and getting your own will. Bow down then before the strong hand of God. He will raise you up when his time comes to deliver him. You throw back on him the burden of all your anxiety. Be sober and watch well. The devil, who is your enemy, goes about roaring like a lion to find his prey, but you, grounded in faith, must face him boldly. You know well enough that the brotherhood you belong to pays all the world over the same tribute of suffering. I don't know how anyone could possibly look at the world we live in today and say, gee, things are getting better. But we do. We don't look at and attribute to the incidents that have happened just in the past week, let alone other things that happen around the world, to maybe bad upbringing, poor toilet training, maybe having skipped home ec or whatever, rather than pointing to what they are, and that is evil. The source of killing, the source of murder, the source of hatred, these things are rooted in sin. They are rooted in our inability to recognize once again the difference between the kingdom of God and the world inhabited by the demons. And we live in a demon-haunted world. All of the things that we like to attribute to some kind of social problems go back to that one original problem, and that is the fall. That is sin. As a result, none of the solutions that get offered, which usually involve some sort of social reconstruct or social problems, have a chance of getting off the ground or doing anything in particular. God gave the people of Israel the law in order to prove to them that they couldn't be saved that way, that just by following a set of laws, they could not get closer to God. We tend to follow the same kind of construct, that if everybody just follows this law or that law or that law, then society will function in a good and orderly way. But you see, laws, the passage of laws, the passage of legislation, doesn't change people's hearts. We have laws against murder, people still murder. We have laws against drunk driving, people still drive drunk and kill other people. We have laws against theft, we have laws against all kinds of things that people still do because they choose to do them. And as it says, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. He is looking for those who are oriented in that direction. He is looking for those who are weak enough not to, as he says, stand for God boldly. You know, this epistle talks about how we have to be careful with one another. Treat one another with deference and with respect. Something you don't necessarily see in the outside world, but tragically in many churches it's the same. People go to church and the landscape from here to the fullness of the kingdom is littered with the bones of Orthodox Christians who really tried. Who really, really tried to do what they were supposed to do, to follow the rules, to live up to what God expected and what have you. Only to have, you know, been shredded in some particular congregation, which was inhabited by maybe only one or two or three or four or five people who just had issues. We have some parishes we call priest killers, that, you know, no priest lasts more than a couple of years in, you know. And in one case, he and his wife just, and the family, they just disappeared. They packed up and left. And we eventually tracked them down somewhere in Arizona. They had had it, they couldn't take it anymore. This was a congregation in which, during the winter, it was up in Iowa, during the winter, during matins and liturgy, when everybody was at church, somebody would sneak over to the rectory and turn off the heat and close all the registers for the heat, so that when they got back, it was absolutely freezing inside. But it gets cold in Iowa, very cold. It's still, I believe, you know, it hasn't gotten that much better. And this has been for all the 40 years I've been a priest. You know, nobody wants to go to that particular congregation. Or you will get those people in a congregation who are just toxic. For whatever pathological reasons there may be. Well, what is being talked about here is to watch. He says, be sober and watch well. The devil who is your enemy goes about roaring like a lion. And he finds these poor people who are very weak in faith, who are not able to stand boldly against the evil. And he uses them to take congregations and really kind of push them off the path. Well, the burnout rate amongst clergy is horrendous, and that includes Orthodox clergy. But the burnout rate amongst laity, and for some reason it's never these people who leave, the burnout rate against laity, the good people, is also very, very, very high. And as I said, I've been doing this a long time. I have brought probably several, when you count groups, probably several thousand people into the Orthodox Church. My guess is the fallout rate is about 50%. And it's because they come into a congregation which either has pegged the expectations so high that God couldn't reach them, or it's got a large group of toxic people, you know, and they eventually wind up going back to something else, being Roman Catholics or Methodists or what have you. Not because they have rejected the Orthodox faith, but because they've been literally beat up within the church, which is supposed to be distinguished from the world by the way in which people treat one another. Now, this is not an issue here. I understand that. But you still have to be watchful and you still have to be careful. And you still have to treat one another with the deference and respect. St. Paul uses the word respect. He says, treat one another with a profound regard, a profound respect, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because this is the way in which a unified congregation begins to radiate care and love. And what he's talking about here, and what is usually being talked about in the New Testament, is not how we relate to the people outside, but how we relate to the people in here. That doesn't mean we kick the people on the outside of the curb. But what they're trying to get across is the fact that if you can't get it together in your own community, going out to save the world is a useless task. You're not going to be able to do anything. All you do is either bring people in temporarily, and you know, you've got that gospel of the sower and the seed. You know, some people come in and they're there for a very short time, and somebody looks cross-eyed at them and they leave. Some people come in, oh, Easter is glorious, wonderful, and they find out it's preceded by 40 days of fasting and what have you. Oh, this is not so cool. And then some come in and they find good ground. And they root themselves in good ground. My brothers and sisters, if we are going to become the kind of congregation wants us to be and continue that, we have to think of each other. We have to think of the other more than think of ourselves. We have to think of the other person as being someone whose burdens we will carry and they will carry our burdens. We have to treat people as they come with compassion, with deference, with respect, because many of them are not expecting them that. And also sometimes with firmness, you know, because if they're going to become Christians, they have to be transformed by the grace of Christ. But to be watchful always for the devil, who has people looking, has demons looking for us, to see if they can get in there and kind of stir the pot and mess everything up. Remember, we take this stuff as being very real. Okay, there may be a lot of other Christians who think, oh, well, that's somehow metaphorical and stands for bad behavior or what have you. Pagans take the demons for real. Pagans know that they're there. They deal with them all the time. So we have to begin to take it very, very real as something which, if we are not watchful for, if we are not always being on our guard against, can sneak up behind us and take us completely unaware. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.